But what does that word trust mean? It means betat in Hebrew, which means to lie helplessly face down. That word is not just, I'm hoping things will work out. Or I'm trying to hang in there. I'm going through a rough time right now. I'm trying to hang in there. I'm trusting the Lord. It's not I'm trying to be strong and positive, although you should be strong, you should be positive. I'm going to church and reading my Bible every day. Pastor, I'm trusting the Lord. That's not what it means. It is what it is. I cannot change what's going to happen. I've kind of given up. And we think that is trusting the Lord. That's not what that word means. That word means to lie helplessly face down like a servant patiently waiting on a master's command.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Skillful by Dr. Abadan Shah here at Clearview Church in Henderson. Here at Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in the way that we worship and the way that we serve others. We'd love to see you at one of our services here at 3485 Oxford Road, or check us out at clearviewbc.org. But for now, let's listen to this week's sermon.
Last Friday evening, we had our annual Valentine's banquet. And I kind of introduced our series coming up starting today, going to the next 4 weeks. And this morning, we begin a mini-series. One thing I've learned about the book of Proverbs, you can stay in Proverbs only so long. Proverbs to me is like concentrated lemon juice. You can use that, but a drop at a time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You cannot say, hey, we're going to have lemon juice again today. It's too tart. So Proverbs, a little at a time is great. And so for the next 4 weeks, it's a mini-series called Skillful, dealing with relationships primarily. And then we'll come back to it in the years ahead. But this morning, you have your Bibles with you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Just those two verses. And I'm hoping that by the time the message is done, you'll have this passage memorized. It's very easy. Many of y'all already have it as your life verse. I hope you will memorize it. So let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. In fact, let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Question this morning before we pray is, who are you leaning on for understanding? Are you leaning on yourself? Leaning on friends, family? Leaning on your education? Leaning on your experience? Leaning on wealth, money? Or are you leaning upon Christ? Are you truly trusting God? Are you living skillfully? And is Jesus Christ the center and focus of your life? If He's not, this message may help you some, but it's not going to transform you. Christ has to be at the center of your life. It's not just about Him, it is Him. And if you do not have Christ as your Savior, would you pray right now, right, heads bowed, let's pray a simple prayer. Never giving your heart to Christ, or you're still doubting whether or not you're truly saved. Simple prayer that says, Jesus, I'm lost. I need you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and take over. I believe that to the best of my ability, I believe you are the Son of God who came, died, was buried, but rose again. And thank you for saving me. When it comes to the book of Proverbs, sometimes people have an attitude of, this is not that important. Say, compared to the book of Genesis. Genesis is about creation. Exodus is about how God's people were set free, the Ten Commandments. Or any of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, or even the Psalms. This is the Word of God, and when you go in the New Testament, now that's the real deal. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul's letters, and Peter's letters. Now that's where it really happens. Proverbs, they're not that important. I've even heard some good preachers say that Proverbs are not promises. They're simply observations. You cannot really hold to them. Now, here's a verse that I want us to think about for a moment before we go any further. It is given in a negative context, but I think it still proves my point. And the verse says, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18, for the law. What is the law? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise. This is where wisdom comes in, like Proverbs. Nor the word from the prophet. This is prophecy. Did you notice the three genres? Law, wisdom, prophecy. Did you also notice that they're not put on a stair step pattern? They're put on the same level, which means this. The law and prophecy are not superior to wisdom. They are on the same level. The book of Proverbs, folks, is not just an optional, you know, everybody has the wisdom. Because I heard something just like it in some Chinese book or some Indian tradition. It may be. God's truth is everywhere. It's been scattered. But if you want to know the God's truth without any mixture of error, it's the Word of God. The book of Proverbs, that's where you find that wisdom. And it should be read daily by Christians, by believers. For example, Billy Graham used to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. He used to say that providentially God gave 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, one for every day of the month. Would you agree with me that Billy Graham was a wise person? You know what wisdom is? Finishing well. Finishing well. Billy Graham finished well. Amen? He did. So my encouragement to you is to read Proverbs. Read a chapter every day. It will change you. It will change the way you think and the decisions you make. So back to the passage we just read. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I believe this one sets the tone for this mini-series. Listen again to that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, before we go any further, this goes completely contrary to what the world tells us. What does the world tell us? It says, trust your heart. Have you ever heard songs that say, trust your heart? Folks, I wouldn't follow my heart if that was the last thing I could follow. My heart is wicked, and so is yours. Our hearts are deceptive. How do we know that? God tells us. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. This is God. This is not me. God who made us, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm going to tell you as best as I can. Find me the nicest, gentlest, kindest, the godliest looking old lady. There's no one here like that. But find that person. I can assure you her heart is desperately wicked. And Jesus affirmed this. Listen to what he said in Matthew 15, verse 19. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Where is it coming from? Sin is not out there. Sin is here. Sin is inside of you. Read the book of Romans. Paul talks about it. It's not up there, out there, somewhere else. It's inside of me. So back up to that verse again. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Which means this. We have to put back, fill in the blanks over here. Trust God with your whole heart. It's not your heart, but it's God. And how do you do it? With everything you have. But what does that word trust mean? It means betat in Hebrew, which means to lie helplessly face down. That word is not just I'm hoping things will work out. Or I'm trying to hang in there. I'm going through a rough time right now. I'm trying to hang in there. I'm trusting the Lord. It's not I'm trying to be strong and positive, although you should be strong. You should be positive. I'm going to church and reading my Bible every day. Pastor, I'm trusting the Lord. That's not what it means. It is what it is. I cannot change what's going to happen. I've kind of given up. And we think that is trusting the Lord. That's not what that word means. That word means to lie helplessly face down like a servant patiently waiting on a master's command. Waiting helplessly. In order to do that, folks, you have to develop a deep personal relationship with God. This was a very tough message to prepare. Many of us enjoyed the series on the parables, right? Y'all enjoyed that, how much we learned from it. We grew from it. God changed our hearts. And I did too. It radically transformed me. But this one was so hard to prepare because the more and more I began to read this passage and see what it was saying, I realized I don't have right now a deep personal relationship with God. You say, are you lost? No, I'm saved. Can you not see God working? Are your eyes of faith gone? No, I can see God working. I just don't have a deep personal relationship with God right now. Folks, what do you need for a deep personal relationship? Just like a spouse. For me to be married to my wife. Or dating. Let's just talk about dating for a moment. What do you do when you go out on a date? The purpose is to get to know the person. You listen to that person. You talk to that person. You spend time with that person. And in the process, you realize, I don't think this is going to work out, or I want to pursue this more because there's something here. I want to develop a relationship with this person, whether it's a guy or a girl, whatever, depends on who you are. This is what I want. So also with God, how do you have a deep personal relationship with God? It's when you are spending time listening to God and talking to God over time. What I have found in my own personal spiritual life is I'm going to the Word not to listen to God, but to find another sermon that will be really impactful. And God convicted me and said, I'm going to bless you anyways because my people need the Word. But you and I are not at the same place. Folks, just because God is blessing Clearview, just because good things are happening in my life, does not mean that my relationship with God is right. But in listening, in talking, in spending time, you begin to realize that this person is not my enemy. This person is God's gift to me. So also with God, the more time we begin to spend with God, the more you understand how good He is. And you develop a deeper and more personal walk with Him. You understand how God thinks and how He feels. You begin to understand how much He loves you and how much He cares for you. Folks, that is not optional in the Christian life. This is not about just I prayed the prayer. Hey, Pastor, make sure my name is on the roll of Clearview. And by the way, this trust has to be with all your heart, with your whole heart, which means this, please listen, there is no place for a half-hearted, wishy-washy, just repeating the Christian lingo kind of, relationship with God. This has to be intense. This has to be passionate. This is what we used to call revival. Revival is not just, we're having a week of revival, y'all come. You know what revival really means? That I can see God in my life and I hear His voice and He's talking to me and He's guiding me and He's correcting me and He is good to me. Now please don't misunderstand when I talk about having this time with God does not mean that you just stay there forever and ever. That's easy for a pastor to do, right? Amen? He's got a lot of time in the world. He can just stay on his face before God forever. But we got to go to work. No, what it means is in the morning time to have that time reading God's word and saying, God, I'm here, I'm listening, speak to me. When is it going to happen, folks? Come on, when is it going to happen when you finally wake up and say, I got to live my Christian life intensely, passionately, loving Jesus and seeing him work in my life? When is it going to happen? Do you have this deep, personal relationship with God? It's not optional. But listen to what it says. Back to verse 5. Lean not on your own understanding. This is the problem. Instead of trusting in the Lord, having a deep personal relationship with God, we lean on our own understanding. It's like a crooked stick. We're just leaning on it. By the time it felt like the right thing to do, I wasn't thinking. Well, you were leaning on your own understanding. Folks, when we do that, we make some colossal mistakes. Terrible mistakes. Let me give you some examples from the Bible. Abraham and Sarah. God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a place. You and Sarah go out there. And through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God, I don't have a kid. Well, don't worry about that. You'll have that. He goes out in the land of Canaan. Famine comes. They run down to Egypt. And on the way to Egypt, Abraham says, oh, wait, Sarah is beautiful. Sarah, if those Egyptians, especially the Pharaoh, sees you, how gorgeous you are, he is going to take you for his wife, one of his harems, and he's going to kill me. Here's the deal, Sarah. Pretend like you're my sister. Now, that was half truth. Just tell them you are my sister, and that way, on account of you, I will live. You know, sometimes, have y'all had a tough time understanding that passage? Like, why would you do that? You know what he was doing? He was not just being a coward. He was trying to save God's promise. God said, through you, Abraham thinking, just through me. Not Sarah. So Sarah, look, talk about, they were progressive back then, weren't they? You can go ahead and marry Pharaoh. You may even become the queen of Egypt. I'm going to slip away and find someone else because through me, remember, through me, and God had to step in, strike Egypt until Pharaoh had a dream and he said, wait a minute, is she your wife? Why did you do this? You see what Abraham did? He was leaning on his own understanding instead of stopping and consulting God and saying, God, is this what you want me to do? Please don't raise your hand. How many of y'all have made some decisions in the past few months, in the past few weeks, you did not consult God? God was not in a million miles of your decision. Lean not on your own understanding. I think about Joshua. Joshua had just defeated Jericho, taken down the city of Jericho, and there's another city nearby by the name of Ai, just a small little city. Hey, we can send about 2,000-3,000 men. We can sit back. It's easy. And not only were they defeated, but many of their men, 36 of them, died, all because Joshua was self-confident. Think about Peter. Peter, on the night before Jesus was crucified, he made a promise to him. He said, I will never leave you, even if I have to die. Jesus said, Peter, all I want you to do is watch and pray. Watch and pray. Oh, no, I'm coming with you. All right, then let me go and tell you, Satan's been asking for you to sift you, and before the night's over, if you come after me, you're going to deny me 3 times. And like clockwork, Peter denied Christ. You know why that was important? Because he was thinking, this is the time for me to prove that I am a disciple. Folks, that was not Peter's cross. That cross was only meant for one person who was fully God, fully man, and without sin. That was Jesus. Let me give you some positive examples. Our time's running away. Job faced the worst trials anyone other than Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that, Job? Right? Horrible. I mean, lost everything. But I love what he said in Job 13, verse 15. I love this verse. He said what? Can you say it with me? Though he slay me, yet will I. Which means this, no matter what happens, My trust is in God. So again, the same word, which is lying helplessly face down, looking towards God. Folks, I can go on and on. The point is this, we should be trusting God with all our hearts, not leaning on our own understanding and insights. Now listen to verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. If I could draw it out over here, it would look something like this. This is life. In all your ways, as you're going through life, stop, look up, and make sure God is with you. Stop and look. The word is yada, which means admit, confess, acknowledge, recognize. Is God there? Where is God right now? You're changing a job, you're changing a location, you're moving somewhere else. Have you stopped to see where God is? In other words, all your daily happenings, you need to make sure, oh, there is God, I'm good. I remember when the kids were young, most of our kids were very, you know, self-reliant. We could leave them with anybody and not a big deal except for one. I didn't know what to do with him because if Nicole was out of sight, he would cry. I mean, He was a he. How many of y'all have had to deal with that? What kid does not, and the other parent is like, what about me? But I get it. Same way with us, just to be able to say, yeah, God is here. In this job decision, God is here. I'm signing up for a new position, God is here. We're about to make a big purchase, I can see God here. I can see Him. Means use every opportunity to magnify His name. It means to check to make sure that He is still with you. Don't drop Him and run ahead. Stay right behind Him. Having a deep personal relationship with God means you acknowledge Him, you see Him, and you follow Him. A simple prayer. And what is the promise that God gives us when you do this? When you have a deep personal relationship with God with your whole heart and you always keep your eyes on Him, give Him glory as you're walking through life, here's the promise. Listen to verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. By the way, that's a wrong translation. The Hebrew actually says, He will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. Smooth. It's like this. Throughout life, there will be obstacles. And you'll come across an obstacle and you will say, why is this here? What, I don't know why God has done this to me. I was doing so great and moving forward. All of a sudden, now this health problem has come. I was doing so great and now, look, God put this person in my life right now and they're hard to deal with. The word is yashar, which means smooth, straight, and right. Folks, listen. Many times, God is the one who has put that obstacle there. You know why? Because He knows that if He allows you to keep going, there's a cliff coming. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Amen. And God is so good that He even knows when to say no. It's not fun to walk with a limp, is it? No, it's horrible. God, if only this was right, I would be running for you. No, you wouldn't. You'd run off the cliff. Folks, do you realize you cannot live the Christian life without a deep personal relationship with God? It's not just a bunch of truths that you affirm or confess. This is about walking with Christ. It has to be intentional. It has to be passionate. And what I found in my life, I'll be honest with you, standing here telling the truth, I'm preaching the word, but my personal relationship with God is not intentional. It's not passionate. And I cannot go along like that for too long. You get the point? When you have a deep personal relationship with God and there are obstacles, you begin to realize, hey, listen, God is doing this for my benefit. He is not against me. And when the time is right, he begins to smooth out those obstacles and you're able to move forward. And you realize, oh, wait, there's a cliff there. But there's got to be a better way. And then God shows you that better way. They taught me growing up to always acknowledge God and to keep him first in everything. And they would tell us that. I mean, they would beat that into us all the time. Talk about life is not going to be easy, but keep God first. Read the Word of God. Let God speak to you. Talk to God. Have a relationship with God. And at the time, we didn't understand what that implied, but as I've gone through life, there have been many obstacles. I remember Christmas of 1993 being stuck. Many of y'all have heard my testimony at an exit on this side of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, waiting for a ride in the bitter cold. And I'm standing at this exit. There's a gas station across the street. I was at the gas station, but they shut down. There was a telephone booth across the street. I get in the telephone booth, trying to stay warm, trying to wait for this ride, and I'm thinking, I'm going to die tonight. I don't know how I'm going to ever get out of this one. And folks, this was my prayer. God, I trust you with all my heart. And I will acknowledge you in all my ways. You take care of the path. And he has more than done his part of the promise. It has to be intentional. You're not going to feel it, but you have to make it happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to desire it. And God will do the rest. Have you come to a place where you are done with the ho-hum? Just going through the motions, another sermon. As we go in this time of invitation, today's the day for you to say, God, I have been sitting back over here expecting to feel a desire. No, it's a decision. That I want my marriage, my romance, to be on fire. To be intentional, to be passionate with my wife. So also with God. I want my relationship to be active, intentional. I want to hear his voice. I want to talk to him. And I know that he will smooth out the path. And if you do not know Christ, today you have to begin that relationship with him. It's a relationship. You know, we used to say that and then we stopped saying it. It's a relationship. It's a decision, of course, but it's a relationship. It's by faith you see him, and you talk to him, and you love by him.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. In order to be skillful in our daily lives, it's important that we have a deep personal relationship with Christ. For more information and for this sermon's notes, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com. And for more information on how you can get plugged in here at Clearview, check out our website at clearviewbc.org. One awesome way you can get plugged in here at Clearview is our One Marriage Conference coming up on March the 7th at 8 a.m. Hosted here at Clearview by Tony and Elisa DiLorenzo, this conference will revolutionize your marriage. For more information and for how to get signed up, call us here at the church office at 252-438-8433.